Blog Talk Radio.
Do not be afraid. The power of the Holy Spirit is with you. Is with you. Amen.
Come now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdotus Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason and otherworldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotus. Come now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdotus Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason and otherworldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotus.
Hello, welcome to Sacerdotus Radio. On today's show, I'm going to talk on the news that the Church of England is apparently imploding. According to Tim Thornton, who is a bishop of the Anglican Church, the Church of England has 6 years of life or existence left. So according to this bishop of the Anglican Church, he claims that this religious institution has 6 years left to exist in England. Now he cites the poor attendance, decline in funds as reasons for the extinction of this branch of Protestantism. Now, this isn't news at all. It doesn't surprise me at all that this is happening or will happen. The Church of England has been apostate since its founding, when Henry VIII demanded that the Pope and Archbishop of Canterbury grant him a divorce from Catherine of Aragon in 1534. He forced the church officials, bishops, monks, priests, and so forth, to swear allegiance to him as the supreme head of the Church of England. He made them reject the Pope, all so he can divorce and marry his mistress, Anne Boleyn. This Church of England was then born, and it was born of sin, and of course it will die of sin. Anything that's born of sin is not going to last very long, especially if it's a religious idea or body, because it completely contradicts the whole purpose of Christianity or religion. You don't pick a religion or decide a religion in order to so it could conform to your way of life or your sinful behaviors or lifestyle. It doesn't work that way. Now, this guy obviously suffered from narcissistic personality disorder, because he thought the whole world, the whole universe revolved about him, that even to the point that Christianity had to change his ways and his doctrines and how it presents itself in the world just to please him. In the same tradition, this Church of England continued to water down the tenets of Christianity to the point that nothing is recognizable. And this is referring to the synod that took place back in July of this year, 2014, where the new Archbishop of Canterbury, the one that's in charge of the Church of England, he and the other bishops and also lay people gathered together, and they came to all kinds of crazy ideas. from ordaining female clergy, especially bishops, to recognizing the value of so-called homosexual unions, is just went out of control. This church was a failure to begin with. They even removed Satan from the baptismal rites. As many of you know, and the baptismal rites of the church, which have been around forever, we renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. And we say this every Easter vigil, if you participate in that rite. Also, newly baptized babies, their godparents and the parents answer for them. Well, the Church of England voted to remove Satan from the whole rite, so you no longer are renouncing Satan or his empty promises. If there is no Satan, no evil to reject, then there is no sin. If there is no sin, then what's the point of getting baptized and having a church in the first place? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And you can see how this church went bonkers. The people in this church, the clergy, those in charge who control this religion or this body, they don't have a clue what they're doing. They don't even think of the consequences that will take place from watering down the basic tenets of the faith. You know, what's next? Are they going to say Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene? Are they going to say that God is some magical fairy now? I mean, when is it going to stop? When are they going to stop watering down Christianity? And again, this is why this church failed. And it was a failure from the beginning, because this whole sect of Protestantism began on the sin of one man, Henry VIII. So it was just a disaster, a slippery slope going on throughout the last couple of centuries. People want truth that gives hope and sanctifies, not compromise with erroneous worldly ideas that bring sin and vice. This is what the people want. They want the truth. They don't want people tickling at their ears like St. Paul describes in the New Testament. People who want to appease the things that human beings desire in regards to sin and whatnot. People don't want that. They want the truth. So when you have a religion that's supposedly based on Jesus Christ, on the apostles, and Christianity, saying to you that it's okay for a woman to be a priest, for a woman to be a bishop, despite the early centuries completely forbidding this. And again, not because women are somehow defective or not. No, women are great. I mean, in my opinion, they probably make better priests than men. Because men, we guys tend to be very immature and sometimes very distant. We don't really connect with people that well. But it's more because of a theological reason. Because the church is represented as the bride of Christ. She's going to marry Christ, the Lamb, at the end of time. So the church is the wife of Christ. And the priest represents Christ. He's autochristos. He's another Christ. Not replacing Christ, because nobody can do that. But he represents Christ. He stands in the physical place of Christ on earth. By providing the sacraments and the graces needed through the sacraments in order to help us reach Christian perfection and salvation. And since Christ was a male, then the priest can only be a male. So this is not nothing against women or females in general. It has nothing to do with that or any misogynist ideas to somehow put women down or keep women, below the man. No, it has nothing to do with that. These are just crazy ideas that people come up with just to justify their own anger and frustration that maybe they didn't get something their own way. Traditionally, the church has described how the sacraments can be conferred by two things, the form and the matter. For example, baptism. The form, or the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the matter, the action or the substance that's done, that's used, is water. It has to be water. And unless those two things are present, the baptism is not valid. Now there's different types of baptism, the baptism of desire and the baptism of blood. And the baptism of desire basically deals with extraordinary cases, such as somebody in a non-Christian country who heard of Christ. And they wanted to convert, they wanted to be Catholic, but maybe there was no priest around, maybe there was no Catholics around, no Christians around, anybody around to do the baptism, and the person gets killed. Or the person dies, naturally. Well, this person was baptized by the desire to be baptized. And if killed, this is the baptism of blood, then the martyrdom confers the baptism because God's not going to hold that against them, that they didn't have access to a priest or a deacon or even a lay person, because lay people can baptize people. But these two things, the form and the matter, the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, while at the same time pouring the water, these two things are necessary in order for the sacrament to ordinarily be conferred. A priest can take wine or soda or syrup or something and pour it on somebody's head and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. It's not going to get conferred. The matter has to be water. And the form of the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And again, this is because this is the way it was done. Jesus said to do this. And John the Baptist baptized with water, which is a reminder, a symbolism of being born again. Because we are born of water. Human beings are mostly water. For 9 months, we're in a sack of water in the womb. So this is the symbolism behind the use of water. Not that the water has any magic powers or whatnot. It has nothing to do with that. So with the sacrament of holy orders, or when the church ordains new priests, the prayer confirming or asking the Holy Spirit to come on the candidate, the consecratory prayer, is the form. And the matter is the bishop, when he's laying his hands over the candidate, ordaining him. And also the form, the matter is also the male body. It has to be a male. It can be a female. So the bishop could do the consecratory prayer, and he could lay on hands, but if it's a woman, it's not going to work. Because the matter has to be the laying on the hand, and also a male figure, a male body. And the Church of England obviously became apostate in regards to this idea, because they really don't understand this. And obviously the reason is because they want to conform themselves to the world. They want to be popular in the world, and this is not going to work. If you start compromising the truth, the teachings of the church, the sacraments, just to please other people, then what's the point? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And then the idea that they could marry homosexual couples or unions, or even giving validity to them, despite the Bible saying numerous times that it's wrong. You know, even the book of Leviticus says it clearly and very harshly. If a man lays with another man, he shall be put to death. I mean, that, how much harsh can you get with those words? And fast forward into the future, St. Paul says in Corinthians that neither the homosexual or the drunkards will enter the kingdom of heaven. And he was surrounded by all of this because at the time, the Hellenistic culture, the Greeks, they promoted these ideas just like we have them today. It's nothing new what's going on today with the so-called same-sex marriages and the popularity of the LGBT agenda and ideas and so forth. You know, it's cool to live that way and blah, blah, blah. And we have singers and rappers and everybody now adopting it, when before it used to be a taboo and whatnot. This is nothing new. It happened centuries ago in ancient Greece, ancient Rome. And St. Paul lived around it, and he made it clear that if you're in that lifestyle, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You pretty much shut yourself out. And for the Church of England to endorse these unions and even marry these couples, it's just completely absurd. It erases everything in the Bible, everything that St. Paul said. And again, if you don't have the Bible, you don't have the Word of God, what do you have? The Word of man. That's all you have. Because you replace the Word of God with the Word of man, with all these different ideas that are detrimental to the human being, to human society, to our own salvation, our own role in this world as sons and daughters of God the Father. And then, like I said before, with the removal of Satan from the baptismal rites, I mean, Satan is real, this being exists. Usually we call him he because that's more in keeping with the Bible's wording. But this being is an angel, a fallen angel, and angels don't have gender. So he's neither he or she. But for all intent and purpose, this being is very central to Judaism and, well, mostly Judaism and Christianity. Because it was because of this being that we are in this mess. He told Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and now we're here. This whole mess, original sin, and all of this. So this creature, who we call Satan, some people call him Lucifer, the enemy, whatever word you want to describe this clown, he is absolutely real. He's not a god. He's not in competition with the God of heaven. He's not the God of hell. He's just a fallen angel. An angel who was so absorbed in himself that, or itself, whatever word you want to use, whatever pronoun you want to use, that he betrayed God. He didn't want to serve God. He said, I will not serve. He rebelled against God. And out of his jealousy and spite for the human race, he made the human race fall, and continues to make the human race fall, and accept all these ideas that we are gods too, that we have knowledge of good and evil, that we could literally do everything that we want, even if it means hurting each other or hurting the world. And that it's okay to live freely, not caring who we harm in the process. All of this comes from this guy, Satan, this enemy, this fallen angel. And this is why we renounce this creature. We say, we reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises, because that's all there is. Just like when Jesus was tempted in the desert, Satan appeared to him and promised him all this glory and different kingdoms and and whatnot, as if he owned them. And Jesus said, no, get away from me, be gone, because you're just an angel. You don't own anything. You can't do anything unless God allows you to do it. Who are you to come to me to tell me that I could have these kingdoms and all these riches and whatnot? Well, they're not even yours. I mean, you're trapped in hell. If this world was truly yours, if these kingdoms were truly yours, then why aren't you elected president? Why aren't you crowned the King of England or King of Spain? You have no authority. Because only God has the authority. Satan is just an annoyance. A fly in the wall going around looking for somebody to annoy. So at baptism, we say, we renounce you. Go away, shoo fly, don't bother me, go away. I renounce you and all your works and all your empty promises. And what we mean by works are the temptations that he successfully gets people to fall into. We renounce all that. No, we don't want it. You have nothing to offer us. Go away. You're just a creature just like us. The only difference is that we have a body and you don't. Go away from us. Be gone. Vade vetro satana. That's the same Latin. And for the Church of England to remove this creature, this entity, whatever you want to describe this angel as, just completely defies the whole thing. Because if this angel is not around, if he's not around to reject, then that means that there's no sin, no temptation, nothing. This presents a big problem for the church if it's denying its basic tenets. And of course I'm referring to the Church of England, because if the Church of England denies that Satan exists, then I mean, it doesn't make any sense to call itself Christian anymore, because you pretty much destroyed the whole reason why Christ came, is to save the human race, to redeem the human race from the lies of Satan, from the lie of Satan that forced human beings to succumb to the state that it is now, since Adam and Eve. So it's no wonder why this church, this sect, this denomination is failing, and is, according to this Anglican bishop, Tim Thornton, is going to be gone in 6 years, because it's pretty much ceased to be Christian to begin with. Now, before secularists and atheists can celebrate, I know I've seen a couple of blogs out there and celebrating, and of course Richard Dawkins and other English, native English, British atheists and secularists celebrating the whole collapse of this organization. Now, before you go and start popping champagne bottles and saying, we won, Christianity is gone, it's no longer the faith of Great Britain and whatnot, just remember that just because the Church of England failed, the Catholic Church has opened her arms to receive Anglicans already. So a couple years ago, when Pope Benedict XVI was the pontiff, he formulated a very genius plan that would allow Anglicans who were discontent with the way things were going in the Church of England to join the Catholic Church, and at the same time retain some of their liturgical practices, the way they celebrate Mass, the way they pray, and so forth. But they will be in line with the Catholic Church, so they will return home to Rome. And it was awesome hearing the news of how many millions of people from the Anglican Church came home to Rome because of this beautiful genius plan that Pope Benedict XVI, Pope Emeritus, had concocted. So if and when the Church of England completely collapses, these Anglican people are welcome to come home to the Catholic Church. And, you know, we would love that, to have these Christians who knew from the get-go that their Church of England, was defecting completely. And they were the ones that actually petitioned Pope Benedict to bring them home, because they were discontent. And this upset the Archbishop of Canterbury a bit, but I'm sure he understood that people, they want to belong to Christianity. They don't want do-it-yourself or change-as-we-go church or religion. People want a religion that challenges them, that teaches truth. Truth doesn't change with popularity. I believe it was Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI, who said something to the effect that truth is not up to a vote or a democracy. And this is absolutely correct. Because if truth was determined by the majority or by a democracy or vote or popular ideas or whatnot, then it ceases to be truth. I mean, imagine if we put to vote whether or not 2 + 2 = 4, or whether gravity exists or doesn't exist. It would be nonsensical to even attempt that, because we know these are truths. These are ideas that they cannot be refuted, that exist in the world. So again, thank you for Pope Benedict XVI for opening up the doors of the Catholic Church to allow these Anglicans to come home. Now we have Anglican ordinariates who work alongside with the local ordinaries or the local dioceses in bringing Christianity united as the Catholic, but while at the same time retaining their traditions and their forms of prayer, as Anglicans are accustomed to doing. And the Holy Mother Church, the Holy Mother Catholic Church, will never succumb to the world. We will never change for anybody. And we will definitely not collapse like the Church of England. Christ promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And through thick and thin, the Catholic Church has remained here. And you know, we may lose a couple of numbers here and there, or things may happen, but the church will continue on, and it will never defect. It is indefectible. So, any British people out there listening to me, cheers, and don't lose hope. The Catholic Church is always there to welcome you. If you're Church of England, if you happen to be a member of the Church of England, Anglican or Episcopalian, and you feel discontent, you're welcome to come home to the Catholic Church. And we already have the table set ready for you to come and enjoy what the Catholic Church has to offer you. And we did it in a way that will make you feel comfortable, because you're allowed to bring over your rites and your ways of doing liturgy. But you will have a complete meal. You will have the whole truth as Christ wanted it to be taught to the human race. Thank you for listening, everybody. God bless and Mary keep.